Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Umbrella Podcademy. We are your substitute teachers for the day, Mr. Tyler and
Mr. LePage. What's going on?
We are party substitutes. We do not do any of the normal stuff.
That's right.
We fuck around, and we're going to talk about Umbrella Academy Season 1, Episode 5, I believe, called Number 5.
Do you see what they did there?
That is, you know, that's the kind of stuff why you need an education, because we come here and that's what we learn. That's what we learn here. Now, we're building up, running through Season 1 of Umbrella Academy in anticipation of Season 2, which actually drops this week. So we're going to finish out the rest of the season and then dive right into Season 2. Very excited. Pete, how do you feel about halfway through this first season, looking forward to the second?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you and Zalbin have both seen the second season, so I'm kind of odd man.
I actually have not. I've seen the second season of The Boys.
Oh, okay. All right, right. But yeah, Zalbin's seen everything ahead of time. But yeah, so I'm excited. I feel like also what's nice is Zalbin, who didn't like the first one, says he really likes the second one, which makes me nervous because I love the first season. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. But they've got a great cast of characters. I'm excited to see, like, after a season, what they're going to do with these characters, how it's going to move forward. So, yeah, it's cool. They've got a lot of interesting creative things on the show going for them. So it'll be nice to see, like, once they kind of hit their stride, like, what they do with it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of how the season unfolds, why don't we do a quick catch up on what's happened so far this season before we dive into Number 5?
Great.
There are a series of mysteries happening with the Umbrella Academy, a team of superheroes, a child or teenage superheroes that have stopped getting along, went their separate ways, and have all arrived back at the mansion as the death of their quote unquote father. And they are hanging out, trying to get to the bottom of maybe something weird that happened with his death. And then other mysteries start to happen. Number 5 shows up as a boy, and he's behaving weird. We learn that he was in the future for a post-apocalyptic future. He has 7 days to save the world. I think we're down to 4 days in this episode.
Yeah, and he's really into mannequins. And one specifically.
Dude loves mannequins.
I mean, in a post-apocalyptic world, you know, maybe all you have is the movie Mannequin. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think that's how he got into it? He watched the movie Mannequin, and he's just patiently waiting for his mannequin to come alive?
Exactly. Exactly.
To do the full Daryl Hannah? Is that who's in that?
No. No. It's
That's Splash. That's Splash.
That's Splash, yeah. This it's Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall, of course. Yeah. The mannequin. Yeah. And we should say Pete is Number 5's a huge fan of – loves his mannequin. Pete loves the movie Mannequin and walks around everywhere holding a VHS copy of the movie Mannequin
that
he kisses. He kisses right on the front. Be kind. Rewind, Pete.
Yeah.
Rewind to the love of your life. So what else do we have happening? Vanya, sort of the estranged member of the Umbrella Academy, doesn't have powers, we thought or we think. She – has been on medication her whole life. She's pursuing a relationship with this man
creepy,
that has entered her life.
Creepy son of a... Fuck that guy.
Well, he's not... he doesn't present as creepy first. He's very nice. He's the nice... He's the only one who's nice to her in a world where her family...
Yeah,
you know,
but
they're
if
sort
she
of,
was paying attention, she would know that the... You know, not that it's her fault that she doesn't know this dude's creepy, but like... Some signs are there, and Allison is onto it.
Right. Like you can't, you're saying you don't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone who likes you or is nice to you.
No, I'm just saying you can be nice to people, do a little research, especially when you're someone of, you know, who is, you know, in, out there in the world and stuff like that. So I feel like she, you know, she unfortunately was in a tough spot. Someone was very nice to her and she's not thinking about it. And I wish she would.
Yeah, the only thing that can truly love you is a VHS tape from the mid to late 80s.
But what if that
tape,
that.
What if that tape betrayed you, Pete, and you took off the slipcase and underneath was another movie?
Whoa.
Like, what if it was like Rambo, First Blood, is secretly underneath this videotape you've been kissing all this time?
Well, that's the thing. You can't judge a book by its cover. So you really got to make sure you check the sleeve. You know what I mean?
Check the sleeve. Yeah. Always check the sleeve, guys. What else is happening? Luther and Allison have a sort of a little relationship going. We don't know what's happening here. And Allison, rumor, has had a tough go of it. She was in the public spotlight and has fully pulled away from that. She has a daughter, I believe, that she talks to remotely and is sort of struggling with that. We found out a couple episodes back that Luther has a secret gorilla body underneath. Not so secret. He's been hiding it with a turtleneck, which is good for hiding hickeys, but not for hiding your gorilla body. Who else? Klaus.
Klaus. Klaus went to Nam.
Yeah, Klaus went to Nam. He traveled through time when he got the case from Cha-Cha and Hazel. Two assassins who are out to kill number five. We learn more about that in this episode. Mm-hmm. And we find the ramifications of Klaus's journey a little bit today in this episode. He also is addicted to drugs and he can see dead people. Including
I think that's he's can see dead people and they talk to him. And like the only way he can drown that out is through alcohol and drugs. So it's I don't know if it's like – I don't think he started drugs first. I think it's because of his powers. He has to do drugs so he can – have a bath by himself once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the bath is a great place to relax. Pete's in a bath right now. For those of you just listening, you'll occasionally hear a splish splash.
Oh, my God.
Klaus is also frequently visited by the seventh dead member of the Umbrella Academy. Ben. Who's just hanging around, Ben. Who's hanging around and he occasionally says, what up? Or like, wee. Which he does in this episode.
It's fun when you know – have a brother that you can talk to every once in a while. You know what I mean?
I totally get that. Yeah. who haven't we covered? Oh, Diego. Mm-hmm. Tough go of it last episode. His friend / love interest, police
on
officer
again,
died.
Off again,
on again, off again. He wants some revenge on Hazel and Cha-Cha, which we get to see a bit in this episode. Mm-hmm. Other characters, Monkey Butler, who observes. He observes quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, their mom, who is a clunky robot.
Pogo, by the way.
Of course, I know. He's a monkey butler.
Yeah.
And then their mother, who they've found out a couple episodes back, is a robot or android, and she is not doing so hot.
I mean, I think they always knew she was a robot, but like, you know, they just Diego deactivated her for some reason.
Diego, deactivate. How many of your parents are robots? Do you suspect?
Oh, I'm going to say zero, but you never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Let's get into the episode. We're just going to do some sort of a broad sweeping covering the plot points and then our impressions. Overall, Pete, how did you feel about this episode?
Well, it's a great episode. A lot happens in this app. We get a lot of things kind of tying in, get some answers. You know, app five titled number five, you know, that's a great app. I mean, that's smart. You know, that's some extra thinking there. It really make those things line up like that. Plus, we start
love
with
the synchronicity.
Yeah. Plus, it starts with some cool music, you know, kind of get that post-apocalyptic start to an episode, some music in the background. That's just fun stuff.
Yeah, you love music right in the background. I agree. I like this episode a lot. In a show that I think we've talked about a little bit can be a little sort of slow and then too fast at different occasions. I think pacing is one of the big criticisms of this first season that we've talked about. This episode, I think, really locked it in, and we get a partnering off a pairing off of our different Umbrella Academy members, which I think works really well. It lets us focus on those different plot lines in a clean partnerships, and we don't have to constantly be sort of moving in and out of group scenes.
Yeah, but it's also tough because it's like you want them to stay together so badly, and when they separate, you're like, no. But the way we see them come together in this episode, where it's like Klaus behind an ice cream truck, like it was that was just so fun with the music blasting. It was just,
yes.
I mean, that's great stuff.
Very fun. Well, let's dive into it. We start with a montage of number five in the far future.
Yeah,
we see him age, and
yeah, he's mannequin staying the same age. He's aging, and his how he gets around evolves, which is nice. You know, starts with a little kind of like pulley briefcase, then it moves on to like a full cart and oxen type setup where he's the ox, and then it's you know, the classic bike. You know, the old sit down bike.
You know. A sit-down bike, yeah. Now, would you want your mannequin to age along with you? Or your copy of the VHS tape mannequin, that is?
You know, as you I think some appropriate aging. But, you know, you want to, you know, keep the relationship fun.
Yeah, keep it fun.
Yeah.
Keep the inanimate relationship fun.
Yeah.
So in the midst of this, he sees a woman out of nowhere. He hasn't seen another person in a long time. She's from a time travel regulatory organization, she claims.
Yeah, the commission.
The commission. And she is offering a job, basically. Will you be our hitman? And if you do...
It's a nice feeling when someone tracks you down and offers you a job. You know, it makes you feel special.
Exactly. Like, of all the people on the Earth... which are zero, we believe, they chose him, the last guy there.
And it seemed like the mannequin wasn't really on board, you know, because he has that look back like he's having one more conversation with the mannequin, and she doesn't look happy.
Yeah, but I think she's like, I respect that you need to go work.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Someone's got to put no food on the table for the mannequin.
Yeah, you know, it looks like he has a busy day of like walking to the city from his little bunker in the apocalypse and then back again, you know, to get special bottles of wine that he finds.
And I'm sure, yes, some stashed Bordeaux. And I'm sure, the mannequin will want to have, like, arms and legs again. And maybe they can save up and afford that stuff if he puts in his 5 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you really got to put in the work.
So we get a fun montage of that. He's correcting time, killing people, but he eventually breaks his contract when he doesn't kill John F. Kennedy, but someone else did, second shooter. There's a distortion in time, and he appears with the gang.
Yeah, which so I thought it takes us back to the first time we see him, which is great.
Yeah. And he's telling this story to Luther, and we get that they're the sort of partnership for this episode.
Yeah.
Number five tells Luther the world's ending, and of course he's like, you know, he's a superhero that just needs a direction to be pointed in. It's exactly. Like, all right, let's save the day. But the episode runs the course of Luther not wanting to do number five's tactics. Like, he has a rifle, he's going to shoot some people. And it's nice, though, that they sort of come together. Luther threatens the mannequin. They do a little fun switcheroo.
Yeah.
And, building up to the finale, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Klaus, he's on his own for a bit of the episode where he's crying on the bus. He has come back from time, from being lost in time, breaks the time machine he stole from Hazel and Cha-Cha, which I like this story a lot, too. Klaus gets a win. Hazel and Cha-Cha are in a panic because they need their – you can't lose your time machine.
Yeah, you can't.
That's rule number one.
And that – you know, number five has that thing where it's like, you know – it's kind of like if a cop loses his gun, like people are very much frown on it. Like if your boss is going to have your ass for that. So like the fact that they've lost their time machine has really got them scrambling, which number five takes advantage of.
Yes. So Klaus and Diego sort of they're the partners for this episode because Klaus is running from Hazel and Cha-Cha and Diego is chasing down Hazel and Cha-Cha because of the death of his friend slash love interest.
Right.
Diego seems like he doesn't have a plan as he and Klaus sort of spy on Hazel and Cha-Cha. They're made instantly and there's a little shootout, which was fun. Yeah. But I think, as we learn later, I think Diego was tracking them, and pays off, right?
Yeah, yeah, because he was the one who saw the donut receipt back when the detective got shot, so he's kind of put that all together. Although Hazel and the donut lady have an adorable date.
Yes.
You know, they talk about birds and life, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, hey, get your kicks, bird lady, because he's like, hey,
fast forward your timeline. You got like 4 days. He doesn't say that to her, but, you know, he's just like, hey.
So, Pete, time's running out. You find out about the apocalypse. What's on your list?
How much time do I have? Where am I? Like, what's going on?
Let's say 1 day. You're where you are now.
One day?
One more day.
All right. I got
4 days.
Okay. Well, I'm
just like the characters.
I'm planning out last meals. You know what I mean? I'm going to get like a last round of food. I'm going to make some phone calls, reach out to some friends and family. Just kind of, you know, bust everybody's balls one last time, get real drunk, and then peace out. You know what I mean?
Wow. Bust everybody's balls one last time.
Yeah.
Nice.
How about you?
I'm going to rocket ship space, get into space, watch the whole thing go down.
Oh, you're going to spend 4 days building a rocket ship and then launch yourself into space?
I don't know if I'll build one, but I'll steal one.
Oh, you're going to steal one. Cool, 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 cool.
Because there are no rockets out there. And I feel like those rocket scientists will be focused on, like you, busting everybody's balls and getting drunk. So then I'll hit the rocket scam, get into space, and just watch it go down, land on the moon, have a moon base, live on the moon, be a moon guy.
Oh, wow, man. Good luck. Yeah.
Thanks.
I think it's hard to just steal a rocket ship and then land on the moon and find a place to live and survive.
Dude, I've watched Apollo 13. I know about getting into space under bad circumstances.
Okay, cool, cool. It seems like you got a great plan.
Tom Hanks, baby. So let's get into this. We have
Vanya who.
Before we get to that, I want to talk about this this great scene with Diego and Klaus are in a like a VFW.
Oh yeah,
and they're Klaus is looking at this picture on the wall. The bartender comes over and is like, "Hey, this place was for vets only." Klaus, very upset, says, "I am a vet." No one believes him, and then they get thrown out. There's a fight almost. And we get this slow push in on Klaus in the picture as a young man. The year he was in the past, he was in the Vietnam War.
Yeah, and it's funny because what's great is like he's like, "Oh, you should apologize." And Diego's trying to be nice. He's like, "Yeah, yeah, I apologize." And then Klaus is like, "I apologize. A village is missing an idiot." It's just hilarious. And then goes right into a fun fight sequence. I mean, come on, that's fun stuff.
Come on, yeah. So let's you want to talk Vanya and Rumor?
Yeah. So yeah. Vanya and Allison, Allison's trying to be a good sister. She's trying to, like, you know, protect her from creepy dude. And so Allison brings her breakfast, but then Vanya's like, "Yeah, but I'm having breakfast with creepy guy, so peace out." And so then creepy guy's like, "Oh, yeah, you didn't notice I got rid of all your medication. Cool, cool, cool. You know, I have all these evil plans that you don't even aware of." And then,
well, but now we don't know that going into the, until there's a reveal at the end of the episode.
If you go on one date with somebody and they start stealing your medication and like dumping out, you think that's cool? That's totally cool.
No, it's not cool. But, at this point he still seems like he's trying to help her. He is.
No,
she has said she wants to
you
go off her medication.
You saw the shot of Allison in his creepy house, and then she looks up to the ceiling and sees creepy door to the attic. So that's how you know he's a creep, all right? You don't need any more evidence.
So just having an entrance to your attic makes you a problem?
No. A creepy shot to that attic that hangs on it for a creepy amount of time so you feel the weight of the creepiness is how you know.
I see you. You felt the creepiness coming at you.
Yeah, you don't put shots in there if that's not where you're trying to lead me. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what, Pete. I have an attic door very similar to that.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how long I linger on it, staring at it.
Don't ever go up there, man.
Well, I guess we'll see. Maybe I go up there a lot and hide stuff.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, and you see in the course of this scene between Vanya and her sort of this creepy, quote-unquote creepy man, that she's, like, got some mental scars from growing up. We've been slowly sort of spinning out the fact that she is feels like an outsider and feels unloved, I think is a fair way of saying it. And I, as we said, I haven't watched this. This is my first time watching through Umbrella Academy, but I have read the comics. So it is interesting to sort of feel that story building over the course of this. I won't say anything else, but that's exciting.
So then we get the audition and Vanya plays, and then we start to see what I describe as heat. Like when you look at the top of an onion oven, like the heat coming out, there's like waves coming out of her music, and it's like enchanting the people listening. And at first they weren't having it, but then by the end, she won them over.
Which may be an indication. Yes. So Vanya is displaying powers. We get to see it twice in this episode. The first time when she's playing music, it seems to be coming off her violin, and then she becomes first chair. When she's going in for the audition, something I've experienced a lot, they're like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. And so she charms them. Perhaps that's an indication of what her powers are.
Mm-hmm. That would be a really good power, to be really great at auditions.
I know. You know, a lot of people have that power. They're called working actors. And and I'm like hoping to get bit by a radioactive working actor to really continue that.
Yeah. I would just work on like lathering your arms or legs in barbecue sauce. I think if I was a working actor, that would make me want to buy you.
Actors famously love barbecue sauce. Yeah. So let's finish up Vanya's story. She's fully off her meds, which she says she got first chair, kisses the dude, and then her powers are sort of – and they're like having sex, presumably, and her powers are going crazy.
Yeah.
So it seems to be when she's really in the moment, off her meds, her powers manifest.
Yeah.
And we don't quite know what they are.
And I'm wondering if the dad knew that and that's why he had her on the medication, because he knew like her power was so much that it could really go evil and go fast. You know what I mean?
I think that's 100% correct. And we do see the body in the attic from Creepy Guy on the way out. So shit's weird there. Mm-hmm. Her powers crack through the window, which I thought was interesting. Like there's a physical manifestation there. And then we float following her sort of steamy power set back to Umbrella Academy, where Pogo and the mom are keeping secrets.
Yeah. But let's get back to the real main event, though.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second, though. So what are Pogo and Robot Mom? What's up with that?
Well, I think Pogo and Robot Mom are the only ones who are constantly left alone. So I'm sure they're making decisions for the kids' interest without them, you know, or at least carrying out the father's evil wishes, or not evil, but, you know, whatever. He's not the greatest parent.
I think this is probably about that they killed the professor, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. We'll find out. We'll find out, I hope.
Yeah. Well, I think we will, 100%. So then jumping back to what we were talking about before, the scene that you want to get to, the big confrontation between Hazel, Cha-Cha, Luther, number 5, Diego, and Klaus. You want to walk us through it?
Yeah. So number 5 sets this all up. And, you know, so it's number 5 and Luther driving. They park. They're going to meet Cha-Cha and Hazel. And what's cool is like Cha-Cha and Hazel like drive by them. They didn't stop in the meet. Like they checked it out the scene, which I thought was cool. And then while they're like getting ready to kind of like have that meet, you see this. First they kind of talk, and number 5 is like, okay, listen, this is why I want to talk to your boss, go make it happen. And so while you're waiting for the boss to show up, that's when we see this ice cream truck coming up over the kind of like horizon, blasting kind of like some old school like
like Flight of the Valkyries. Flight of the Valkyries, very cool.
And then but it's like ice cream version. And
yeah, I love that. I thought that was great.
So and funny. And then they're just like number five and Luther have the same look as the audience. We're like, what is going on? And as they drive by, it's Diego and Klaus. Oh, man, that was so funny. It was so
great. Yeah, I love this scene. I thought it was really fun. The action was great. The ice cream truck plays a huge role in my life, as my two very young children call it. Happy Day Day is coming.
Nice. Yeah, it's, you know, ice cream truck still, when I hear that noise, it very much affects me.
See, I lived too far out in the country when I was a kid to have access to an ice cream truck.
Oh, man. But, when the ice cream truck started to get a pattern by your house, that really affected, you know, it becomes this thing where it's like, who do I got to punch to get money? Or like, what do I got to do so I get enough money to get ice cream right now? Because that's
who do you have to punch to get money? You were a child boxer. Earning money for his ice cream.
That's right. That's right. Scrappy way to earn ice cream money.
So the woman from the far future returns, confronts number five in a frozen moment, and offers him a job with the commission. And he does, he says, I want to protect my family, which I thought was cool because I think number five's motivation is we haven't really been able to parse what it is. We know he wants to sort of stop the apocalypse, but we don't know why. Is he good? Is he bad? It feels like he is willing to sacrifice a lot, has not much of a moral center, but he does want to protect his family, which I thought was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. It's smart. It's what's upsetting is like at the start of this, it's like how scattered these kids are. And you just want them to be a family and work together and, you know, save the day. So it's like been an uphill battle in that aspect to finally get them kind of like teaming up and working together.
Yeah. And then he vanishes and leaving the family wondering what's up next.
Yeah.
Same with us. So what is up next? We have a full the second half of the season coming, and it feels like the action is really ramping up.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's going to be exciting to see what number five's job is, like what it actually is. Because, you know, when someone tells you about a job in the beginning, they're telling you about all the good stuff. They're not telling you about all the bad stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see what that job entails. And hopefully he'll be able to talk to his family and not just ghost them, but we will see what happens.
Yeah, like he's going to have to do some fun stuff like travel through time, but he's going to have to use like a Keurig coffee maker instead of a regular.
Oh, man. Wow.
Because, you know, but those pods, come on.
You like the pods?
I don't like the pods.
Yeah, they're bad.
It's watery.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee, so I don't know, man.
Oh, really? What do you drink? What's your favorite beverage?
Of all time, probably vodka.
Wow. what an answer. Well, what if your vodka, like when you ordered it, it was like a little watered down and as much as you wanted? That's what a Keurig is.
Yeah.
But for coffee.
Yeah, I don't like little measured amounts.
Well, that's too bad because vodka always comes in some sort of measured amount, whether it's a bottle or a shot.
Yeah, I like to control the measured amounts. Not somebody else.
Wow. Pete, hater of bartenders because of their control over the vodka bottle.
It's a big leap you made there. I do not hate bartenders. They're amazing individuals.
Well, before we go, let's talk. Who is your best student in the Umbrella Podcademy? Who's your favorite character of this episode?
Well, I got to say, we saw a lot from a lot of different people, which is great. Number five finally including his family, which was awesome. You know, I don't know. A part of me just wants to say Klaus because he's always the best and he makes you laugh. But I'm going to say Hazel because it's nice to see Hazel grow a little bit. And I'm hoping he's going to grow enough where he's not going to be trying to take down the academy. You know, maybe he just like walks away from his job and is happy with a nice donut lady.
That's sweet. That's very darling. I got to give it up to number five. I thought this is a great episode for him.
What'd you think of old man Five?
He's good.
Yeah.
Good old Five.
I mean, that's going to be tough as an actor. Like, oh, okay, I have to play a five-year-old, but now he's 85? Cool, cool, cool. I can do that.
Well, I hate to spoil it, but I think they got a different actor to play the older number Five.
Yeah, I think I think so, too. But, like, yeah. That's a tough challenge.
Yeah. I think this was sort of an episode that featured him and filled in a lot of pieces. So it was cool to see him be both a sneaky, underhanded almost villain, as well as being a hero at different points.
Yeah.
Guys, that's it for the Umbrella Podcademy. Please come back. We'll be hitting episode 6 next week as we are racing toward the end of the season. Number 6, The Day That Wasn't.
Ooh.
Which is fun. There's a lot of days like that in all of our lives. especially when you drink as much vodka as Pete does.
Oh, yeah.
You can check us out every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We do a live show called Comic Book Club that we stream to Crowdcast.
And YouTube.
We have this and many other podcasts. If you like The Boys, we're doing a recap podcast. Just enough. And you can check us out at Comic Book Live on Twitter and comicbookclublive.com to see our full breadth of work. Guys, we will, for Justin Tyler, Professor Tyler.
And Pete LePage,
not a professor anymore, giving up his title, just a regular guy. This is the Umbrella Podcademy. We will see you next time.
See ya.